Srimad Bhagavatam, Rasalila, Kartik 2018. We're on chapter 30, the Gopis Search for Krishna, and we're beginning verse number 2. Katyana raga smita vipramekshite manoramala pavihara vibrame akshipta chitta pramadharama pates Tasta vicheshta jagrihustaratmika. And a translation. As the gopis of Vrindavan remember Sri Krishna, their hearts become overwhelmed by Krishna's movements, his loving smiles, Krishna's playful glances, and Krishna's enchanting talks, and by many other pastimes Krishna would enjoy with the gopis. Thus absorbed in thoughts of Krishna, Rama, the gopis began acting out Krishna's various transcendental pastimes. So before we discuss the Tikas, I thought we could see the word-for-word arrangement and explain a little bit about the actual Sanskrit meanings of the words to give us some introductory picture to what we'll hear in commentaries, because these lines are wonderful. The first one is saying, Gati anuraga smita vipramekshater. Anurag. So Krishna's smiling, he's smiling, gopis are remembering. If you love someone very dearly, then you'll remember different aspects of their personality which really strike you and really impress upon you. So usually we remember the face and smile and eyes of our beloved, because the face and eyes of our lover or beloved, husband or wife, our dearest, they convey so much of the mind and heart's feelings and attachment. Mind, the face is the index of the mind. You can measure the mind by the face. So the gopis are remembering that face, and Krishna's smiling, everyone smiles. But Krishna's smiles, it says anuraga smita. Krishna's smiling is full of anurag. And these are words that means continue. Anu means continuous, and rag means passion. Continuous passion or continuous unbreaking color. The color of the gopis' hearts, the intensity of their love and Krishna's love for them is going on. Anu means it's going on and on. It's ever expanding. So anuraga, Krishna looks at gopis with anuraga smita. He's smiling. His smile is in such a way that it conveys, his smile is giving a message to the gopis that we love, that I love you so much. Sneha man, pranaya rag, anurag, a very high degree of intense love and the madhurya rati of Radha and Krishna. So the gopis are remembering that smile. Oh, I remember the beautiful smile of my beloved, the smile of the Mona Lisa, the famous demure countenance of the whoever she was, Mona or Lisa, or Mona Lisa. And she had a very great painting. So she looked very peaceful. So Krishna's smiling is two things. It's full of anurag, and also it's full of vihar, it's full of playful glances. And this is characteristic of a carefree, dear Lalita lover, that their glances are, in other words, young boys and young girls are not very serious about anything. They're only playing. So their eyes and their minds and their faces, they convey and carry that carefree, joking, playing nature. So he's smita anurag. And when the gopis are remembering it, and his smile and his glances. So two things are remembering. Ikshita. Ikshita and the smita. Smita Ikshita. So when they remember Krishna's beautiful smile, and then they remember his glances and go with it, because you also glance along with your smile. So you're glancing, your glance is saying, I like you, and your eyes are saying, I really like you. And so the gopis are remembering that. So this is, we thought we would just go through line for line just to, because this is nice. And these are such deep words, and we're only scratching the surface. We're approaching these verses from the viewpoint of someone who's grateful and someone who appreciates it and would like to see more and more. We want to see Krishna everywhere and see Krishna in his holy name and in his leelas and even in the Sanskrit and even in the syllables and everywhere. Gatyana raga smita vipramikshita. So his smiling creates vibram. Brahm means bewilderment, confusion. And V means excessive, like completely. So Krishna smiles at the gopis and they become completely bewildered. I think a lot of men in this world have experienced that also. And this is one of the first arrows of Kandarpa. It's called Sammohan. He has five arrows and the first one is Sammohan. Mohan is like Brahm. Mohan means bewilderment. Brahm means bewilderment, confusion, but Mohan means bewilderment caused by illusion. So this is the proper word when describing the effect of Cupid. The gopis are bewildered and confused and their mental functions are disordered because of God. There's no mo there. There's no illusion. We say kam, krodh, lo, mo, matsarya. Lust, anger, greed, illusion, envy. But so the Kandarpa, the effect of Kandarpa's bana, Kandarpa's arrows, a pancha bana, five arrows, is samohan means. The first one is you become completely bewitched by, you become completely bewildered and bewitched by the beauty of another person. Sound familiar? Ring a bell out there, anyone? Happens all the time. So this is the Krishna's eyes and his smile. The gopis become brahm, vibram. They lose everything. And then the second line, manorama lapa vihara viprame. Manorama lapa vihara viprame. Alap. When we read in the Brahmar Gita, in the 47th chapter of the 10th canto, it talks about Chitra Jalpa, 10 types of crazy speech of Radharani and separation from Krishna. So there's Prajalp and Alap and Vilap, many types of speech and tones and meanings. So this is Alap, says here, Mano Rama Alapa Vihara Viprame. They're remembering Krishna's face. So you can remember, you can see a person from the distance and experience the beauty of their face and countenance and maybe see their eyes. But then there's different, we're perceiving the object of our love with our eyes. Now gopis are perceiving, remembering Krishna's looks, his rupam. Madhurya rupam, Sri Krishna, Vena Madhurya, Rupa Madhurya, Prima Madhurya, Leela Madhurya. So they're remembering the sweetness of Krishna's face. And what's on the face, the eyes, and the beautiful smiles. And now they're remembering, what about his voice? Because some people you may see a very beautiful person, and when they speak, they go, well, you know, it's like this, you know. You say, oh my God, it happens. Not usually if there's beauty in the face, there's some beauty in the voice, but I've been surprised many a time. That the voice doesn't, you know, the Venus has not favored their voice, maybe their face and whatnot. So now, because in love, the gopis are the purest, immaculate, transcendental, divine love. So as below, so above. Below means this Maya Jagat, this material world we're inhabiting and moving in. It resembles somewhat the human dealings of mothers and sons and friends and friends and masters and servants and lovers and beloveds and wives and husbands, resembles the pastimes of Radha and Krishna in the spiritual world. So we remember the face of our beloved and the smiles and the glances and then the words. So what kind of words does Krishna use? Alap, it says, what is his alap? It says, manorama, manorama alapa vipramekshit vihara viprame. It's actually a very beautiful verse. They're all very beautiful. I can appreciate some the music of it. Manorama, manorama lapa vihara viprame, vihara viprame. You can imagine what relish, what ras, you know, Rupa Goswami experiences in studying Bhagavatam. You know, the ras, we call the rasikas. We're like with a telescope looking at distant stars, you know. So Krishna's speech is manorama. So man means the mind. So rama means to, like we say, raman reti. There's a place in Gokul where Krishna and Balaram and all the boys used to play when they were young boys. It's along the banks of Yamuna. It's called raman reti. And then that area out there in Vrindavan is also called raman reti. But by the time Krishna got there, there was no more playing in the sands and things so much. Anyway, I mean, there was. I mean, he was only 3 years old over there. But so this Rama, the word Ramya Kuchat. So this Ramya means delightful, pleasing, very pleasing, very delightful. So Krishna's alap, mano Rama alapa. So Krishna's alap, Krishna's speech is very pleasing, very, very soothing. Like there's one great devotee here. His name is Pujya Sri Vaishnavpada Das, and he's a Bengali person, Brahmin. When he gives the class, the tone of his voice is so melodic and so beautiful, and the cadence means the speed of the voice. It's very. A very nice sound, you know, and everybody enjoying. Just all the Bengalis are enjoying just listening to the beautiful tone of his voice. That is Brahman birth. That's one of his many assets. So Krishna, you can imagine Krishna's voice. We read in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that Krishna's voice is deep, like the rumbling of the clouds. It says it resembles the rumbling of the clouds in the monsoon. Boom, boom, boom. So that's a man with a deep voice is very romantic, and a deep voice is a sign of the male gender. So the gopis are appreciating that when they hear Krishna's words and they're missing all that, then they feel their mind, manorama, their minds feel so much satisfaction and pleasure. Ah, you can understand also, if your dear one, your dearest or your dear one, is far removed from you. They're working in Saudi Arabia and you're in Bombay and old days before cell phones, and you only get to talk to them once a week or something with a trunk call. And then when you hear so many voices every day in the work and everywhere here and there and among your movements and relationships, but when you hear the voice of your dear one on the end of the telephone, the one whom you cherish most of all and adore most of all, when you hear that voice, you know the phrase? Music to my ears. You can interpret that phrase in different ways. But this is the way we like to see it. If someone is an Agrawal, what is music to his ears? Your stocks just made 100% profit this year. All right, music to my ears. But for those whose mind and hearts are not so oriented, they may appreciate the more finer sentiments of human loving dealings. And this is what Krishna is all about. Human loving dealings that are totally transcendental and immaculately pure. Manorama lapa vihara viprame. So these, this vihar, let me say, ban bihar. Bihar means to enjoy, it means pastimes. So they're remembering his face and his glances and his speech, and they're remembering his pastimes. Or vihar can reflect upon what they're remembering. And so Krishna's speech, his alap, it's, because in the middle we have alap. Alap means speech. So Krishna's alap, his speech is manorama. It's very satisfying. It's very delightful. Rama, ramya, ramya. It's very delightful and very pleasing to the mind. And very satisfying. But moreover, it's very playful. Krishna's speech is very playful. That's bihar. So it's alapa bihar and alapa manorama. Manorama alapa vihara vitrame. So his playful speech and his playing, his pastimes, all these together, it's another vibram. Line one, the gopis just remembered Krishna's smile, smita, his anuraga smita, and his anuraga ikshatar, his deeply passionate, love-filled glances and his smile, and they became, oh, Sham Kaha, Sham Kaha, where is he? Sham. They became totally bewildered. Vibram. And now they remember Krishna's speech and they become again Vibram. So they're really torturing themselves by remembering Krishna. It's dangerous. We're told everywhere you should always remember Krishna and never forget him. This is the essence of the Upanishads. Always remember Narayan and never forget him. And the gopis are remembering this beautiful, dashing hero of Vrindavan and they're going mad, Vibram. Now the third line, Akshipta Chitta Pramada Rama Pates. So now we have a beautiful sentence, Akshipta Chitta Pramada Rama Pates. These are the causal factors that we heard that are leading up to a conclusion or effect, cause and effect. So the effect is being given here in line three. Chitta means the minds of the gopis, the hearts of the gopis, the very consciousness of the gopis is akshipta. Akshipta, akshipta means drawn, forcibly drawn to Krishna's smile, to Krishna's beautiful speech and laughter and smiling and his pastimes. Akshipta chitta. Akshipta chitta. And what is the effect of when their total consciousness is pulled out of them? Krishna's smile pulls the gopis' consciousness out of them. Krishna's glances pull the gopis' consciousness out of them, withdraws their consciousness, steals their consciousness. Manohar. What is the effect? Pramad. Because we say Brahm or Vibram means bewilderment, confusion, disorientation. But when we say Pramad, means Pramatak Unmad. Pramatak means an excessive degree of mud. Mudda means madness. M-E-D-A, mudda means madness. It means intoxication. So the gopis have now entered a state of complete and utter intoxicated madness. In only three lines. And who is this? Who is the cause of all this? Ramapati. Ramapati means he is the master of Raman. He is the master of amorous delight. Or you could say Rama means fortune. So this is Krishna. Pati means the Lord or master, Ramapati. So when we say Rame, Ramapates. Akshipta chitta pramada ramapates. Ramapates means ramapati, means simply it means Narayan. Pati means, like here in Indian Hindu families, they say pati and patni. Pati is husband, patni is wife. So ramapati means the husband of the goddess of fortune. But Rama means Lakshmi Devi, Rama means fortune. And Pati means Lord or Master. So Krishna, he's the Lord of the fortune. What is Krishna's fortune? Prema. Madhurya Prema, Braja Madhurya Prema. So Akshipta Chitta Pramada Rama. So He's the master, he's the lord of this love and this delight, and he's stolen everything from us. Now what's left? What can we do? Then line 4 tells how do they respond to this cause and effect, this transformational experience the gopis are having in separation from Krishna. Tasta vicheshta jagrihus taratmika. Cheshta vicheshta. Cheshta vicheshta jagrihus taratmika. They be enacted. Jagru. Jagrus means they start portraying and start imitating and start acting like Krishna. Vicheshta means their activities are special. Special activities. Because usually the gopis have cheshta. We all have cheshta, actions or movements. But vicheshta means something special. Vishesh. Vishesh means extraordinary, exceptional. Vishesh cheshta. Vicheshta. So what is the exceptional display of their behavior or their actions? You'll hear in this chapter 30 how they display their vicheshta. Their activities are wonderful, amazing, inconceivable. They start, one gopi becomes putana. That's quite a wonderful thing for a gopi to turn into a witch. One gopi becomes Agasura and Bakasura and Trinavarta. And one gopi becomes Shakatasura and all these. So this is vicheshta. Vicheshta jagrihus. And taratmika. How could they get so absorbed in Krishna because their entire being, taratmika, was one with Krishna? This word came up in the first verse of chapter 30, verse number 1. We had the same phrase, taratmika. And verse number 2, taratmika. And verse number 1, we had the phrase, verse 1. We have verse 2 and 3. Verse 2 and 3 of Tadatmika. Because now they're entering. Atmika means my being. Atmika means my being. My mind, my intelligence, myself is tad that. Tad Atmika. My being is with that. That means Krishna. So my whole being is with Krishna. So this is some... Because I actually have done like this before, and I just remembered that this is kind of a trip. Preview of the whole thing. Because it's like Rasa Niryas. It's called Rasa Niryas, as I was informed by my teacher. Rasa Niryas, and I think even you know this analogy, that Rasa Niryas means extracting the ras and extracting. You may remember, I think you were there once. I mean, I've said it many times. But let's say we know the scene, sugarcane, the big metal grinders. So you put it through once, then they should stop right then, and then you drink it. Then they fold it. They fold the sugarcane, raw sugarcane, gunna ras, in half. And then in fourths. And then they have to adjust the rollers because they're too close. Meanwhile, you're waiting like half hour just to get two more extra drops of juice. You know, you're paying 10 rupees, but he wants to get every... Anyway, so then, so finally, when it's done, you know, it's so dry, it's drier than a desert. So you got two extra drops for your 10 rupees. So this is not a good analogy in one sense, because it's not fair, but... And Ras, the going deep into the Rasa Shastras and analyzing and understanding and thinking about, meditating, discussing from different angles... increases the relish of ras. And ras means a flavor, a taste, an inner satisfaction, which creates a certain wonderment, a certain chamatkar nature within one's mind. It kind of captures one. That's the distinctive quality of ras, is chamatkar. Often the professors, they translate ras, divine rapture. Okay, that's not bad. Difficult to translate Sanskrit into English. So we'll read the translation again. This time we'll read Prabhupada's translation of chapter 30, 10th canto, verse 2. You may have noticed, and if you haven't, then you can take notice, we'll be speaking in the present tense. Because we do things our way, and because everyone knows that philosophically that Krishna's leelas are all eternal. And there's no past for Krishna. It's eternal present. So they say Krishna was the beloved of the gopis, or Krishna was dancing with the gopis. Krishna is dancing with the gopis right now, especially tomorrow night, right here in the Sharad Purnima. So I've taken a liberty with my philosophical foundation and Tattva Praman behind me and the blessings of my guru, who has blessed me several times to give these classes, to carry on. And when we try to present the present tense, because it's more active voice, it's active voice, and it feels like now time, it's happening. And often when you read past tense, it doesn't make any sense many times. When Lord Chaitanya was here, he's eternally, and we was here. When I was young, Krishna was 3 years old, and he's still 3 years old. Krishna was 8 years old, and he was Balya Leela, and he's still Balya Leela. He was Pogonda Leela, and he's still Pogonda Leela. And he was Navakishore, and he's still Navakishore. It's is. There's only one tense, is. So it's much more conducive to Leela Smaran. It's much more conducive to realizing that it's all going on right now. And the only thing separating us is Naham Prakashi Yoga Samamrita, Yoga Maya Samamrita. It's just the Yoga Maya. When the Yoga Maya favors us, Yoga Maya is Krishna's internal potency. When Yoga Maya favors us, then we see the present in front of our present eyes. And we feel the present in our present hearts. Translation. So that, because the gopis are simply thinking of the pastimes of Krishna and great love. Being absorbed in such thought, the Braja gopis lose their memories. Vibram. Then with dampened eyes, they start seeing Krishna's pastimes, hearing his beautiful talks with them, and feeling Krishna's embracing, kissing, and other activities. This is a very beautiful translation by Srila Prabhupada, extracted from the Krishna book, because Prabhupada did 90 chapters of the 10th canto in English, and his disciples translated chapter 14 to chapter 90, because Prabhupada went to Goloka. So if you're a little discriminative, you can extract the actual translations from the Krishna book, which gives a nice highlight to the contribution of Srila Prabhupada, which should not be neglected. Not that we don't give equal time for his dear disciples, but oftentimes Prabhupada, of course, is a pure devotee of Krishna. And when he sees things according to his bhava and his love for Krishna, so we find generally that we prefer the translations of Srila Prabhupada, with all respects to the noble and erudite translators. It's a matter of attachment. Whatever your dear one does is great. So, what can I say? There's such flavor. That's very nice. So let's start with hear what Jiva Goswami Pad says about this verse. He comments, Jiva Goswami Pad, on this verse 32, 10th canto. He makes a special note of commenting on the word Vibram and Pramad. Vibram and Pramad. So first because he saw, and as anyone can see, so the word Vibram, which means bewilderment or confusion, appears two times in this verse, line 1 and 2. And in Prem Vibham, this is Jiva Goswami's, in the bewilderment due to pure love of Krishna. I really like this arrangement. I can hear it. Okay. I'm so dead. It's probably loud. And Prem Vibham, or that means a complete bewilderment due to intense love for Radha and Krishna. What he's saying in terms of Krishna Prema, in terms of Radha Krishna Prema, what does the word Vibram mean? Because it's a word that can be used in Hindi or Sanskrit to describe any phenomenon or any mental position or situation with a human being, Vibram. But in terms of Krishna Prema, it's called a Prem Vichar, consideration of Prema Tattva, similar meaning. Vibram in relation to the gopis means instability of mental functions due to amorous love. In the verse, he says, the verse explains how Krishna overwhelms the Braja gopis with his anurag. He overwhelms them with his intense loving attachment for them, his movements, gati, his amorous activities, vihar, his charming talks, mana ramalapa, his smiling glances, smita ikshita, and his sweetly moving eyebrows. They all create vibram. So that's Jiva Goswami. As we mentioned some of these points in our introduction, and then more. Because whatever I said, I'm sure you forgot by now. That was 5 minutes ago. So now we'll hear it again, and maybe what's the name of that? You know the name of that logic driving a pagan to the ground? It's called a peg. When they have I've heard our teacher, and he said it's when they have the bulls and cows. They go out to the pasture. They take a wooden stake, and has a little. They already bring it with them. Has a little cut in it, and then they drive it deeper into the ground so it can't come out. So in philosophy, when you're driving the point home, we have a phrase, drive the point home. There's a Sanskrit term for that. You should send. What is that term for driving? I don't remember. We have the same Shiksha Guru, so that's whatever. Ask the boss. So we're on tryout. So he discusses Pramad. Pramad is completely crazy. Pramatak Mada, excessively crazy. That's, of course, the goal of Krishna consciousness, to become excessively crazy for Krishna and Radharani Mahaprabhu. Mahaprabhu showed the example. It says, right in the Bengali, in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Lord Chaitanya was pagal. Pagal in Hindi means crazy, pagal. Crazy, not crazy because of mental derangement or vat rogue. There was no rogue and no disease in Gauranga Mahaprabhu. But he was crazy because of the effect and strong influence of Radharani's Mahabhav, which Krishna Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was trying to contain in his heart and trying to contain in his mind and relish in his heart. And it just tore him to pieces. Really, literally torn to pieces. His arms got so long and so small and came in this way, that way. Unbelievable transformation. It's called Prem Vikar. Jiva Goswami Pad, he explains this word Pramad. He says Pramad means, I like this. I don't know what this is the translation. I wish I could. Pramad means those who by nature Pramad as a word describes those people, those girls, those boys, in this case, those gopis who by nature become extremely insane. Extremely insane means not sane. And for the gopis, the word pramad means that they become insane because of prem. That's the good thing, the downside. In other words, when people become insane, materialistic people become psycho, psycho or psychotic or go insane, they're usually destructive to themselves and others. But the gopis, they're insane. It's simply, there's no destruction. It's just You know, there is a certain destructive quality about the gopis' insanity that anyone who studies the pastimes of Radha and Krishna, their material desires and their heart disease of lust will be destroyed. So when we read about the insanity and insane dealings of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Radha, the gopis and their love, mad attachment and love for Krishna, there's that insanity creates a destructive quality only in the sense that it destroys the reader or the hearer's attachment to anything non-Krishna. So that's good. Then he says, because it says Ramapati, the word pati generally means husband, but it can also mean that Sri Krishna, because it's referring to Ramapati, Sri Krishna, he is the supreme controller presiding over the Shakti of all sweetness, form, qualities, and powers. Or Ramapati means that Radha, because Rama means Lakshmi, and Rama means the female, the Shakti of Narayan, but Rama can also refer to Radharani. So Ramapati means that Radha and Krishna, when it refers to Radha, it indicates that Radharani accompanies Pati Sri Krishna when he disappears from all the other gopis. Then the gopis begin to imitate Krishna's various pastimes. So this is a very extraordinary insight of Sri Jiva Goswami Pad. If you see the translation here in this book, it says, Ramapati, the husband of Rama, the goddess of fortune. And then it says, now it gets closer, it says the master of beauty and opulence. Jiva Goswami says Ramapati means Krishna, who is the Lord, or sweet, the master of sweetness and form, qualities and powers. And also indicates that, as I mentioned earlier, one of the points I was mentioning yesterday, if you examine the verses describing Radha and Krishna's Leela, or verses only glorifying Radharani, or apparently only glorifying Radharani, like, for example, in Radharas Sudaniti, or in Bhagavatam, chapters about Radha and Krishna and the gopis, in one line you often find Yugal. Yugal are represented there. Yugal means Radha and Krishna. So that takes a little bit of broad heart and mind and understanding, but that because Radharani is always with Krishna, and Krishna is always with Radha. So that's what Jiva Goswami himself is pointing this out. So taking the lead from our great acharyas like Jiva Goswami and others, we have understood this point independently, and we appreciate it very much. And he's bringing that out to us. Ramapati is actually, can't think of the word, but it's omen, I guess. What do you say, omen? In other words, indicates. In other words, at this point, at this juncture, the story of the Rasa Leela, Krishna met all the gopis. They wandered through the forest, and they sang, and they fondled each other, and they played, and this and that, and some many different intimacies. Then everyone was overjoyed and happy with their good fortune and pride, and Krishna disappeared. And then all the gopis, they're very upset. That now, because we're breaking it with chapters, but it's a continuous flow of Leela. So then the gopis start searching for Krishna. And the entire chapter 30 is a gopi searching for Krishna. There's no Krishna. They have not found Krishna. There's no indication or any news about he left with any gopi. They think, and every gopi thinks, by the influence of Yoga Maya, that Krishna left all of them, and somehow they don't even realize that Radharani is not amongst them when they're searching. When they're all searching together, they don't realize that. This is the effect of Leela Shakti and Yoga Maya. So right in the very beginning of the chapter, this is text 2, Jiva Goswami Pada is showing us this very minute explanation that Ramapati is, again, Yugal. The Rama means Radharani, and Pati means, Pati is the husband, which means Purush. So Pati means male. I always say Lakshmi, Narayan, Sita, Ram, Radha and Krishna, Shakti, Shaktiman. Shiva, Parvati and Shiva. So here we have Rama, Shakti comes before Shaktiman. So Rama means Radharani and Pati. So Pati does, Krishna is not the husband of Radharani. He is the Lord of her heart. And he is, when it says Rama Pati, it means that Krishna is the opulence of Radharani. So Rama means Radharani, and Pati means Lord or opulence. So this is what Jiva Goswami is saying. This is a very nice point by our esteemed Acharya. Jiva Goswami can be very rustic also, as we can see, although maybe Vishnu Chakravarti accepts the mercy of Jiva Goswami on his head, and then he flies in the sky of amazing different insights. So this is the Vishnu Chakravarti's Tika on chapter 30, verse number 2. Although chapter 31 says that the gopis are completely alone, and Krishna is not appearing before them, Vishnu Chakravarti, and the Bhagavatam is saying this, the gopis are all alone, they're searching for Krishna. They're searching for him because he's not there. He's not with them. But then Vishwanath gives it a little different viewpoint. He says that he sees the Leela from a certain kind of vision, that Krishna surprises. Is the battery going down or something? Is the battery going down? It seems like the volume is going up and down. He sees a Leela from the vision that Vishnu Chakravarti sees a Leela from the vision that Krishna has suddenly appeared to the gopis in this chapter. And Krishna doesn't appear to the gopis until the end of 32, the next chapter. So he says this: Krishna surprises the Braja gopis by suddenly appearing before them, and then they share the following talk. So taking this one word, alap, which is in this verse, line 2, Gatyana raga smita vipramekshater manorama lapa vihara vibrame akshipta chitta pramada ramapates tastat vichesta jagrihustadatmika. Alap means to talk or have dialogue or conversation. So when the gopis are remembering Krishna's talks, because that's how it's translated, they're remembering Krishna's, his beautiful, mind-satisfying talks. Manorama alapa. Manorama. Manorama alapa. The alap, the speech, very satisfying and pleasing and delightful to the mind and also bewildering. But then, so there's a dialogue. So you might ask a question. So the gopis are remembering the alap of Krishna. The gopis are remembering, oh, we had such sweet talks together. So Vishwanath, in his gopi sarup, in his manjari sarup, as we know, Valari Manjari, he reads this verse in Sanskrit, as all sadhakas do, and then he meditates deeply on the meanings of the words and the translations and the lila being described and the feelings being exchanged between the Nayak and Nayaka, Krishna and Radharani and the gopis. And by the power of his bhakti and the mercy of Krishna and the kripa of Yogamaya and Leela Shakti, then he has a Leela Pravesh. Means he enters the Leela in his consciousness, in his mind. He transcends the time period of 1700s. Vishnath is sitting on the banks of Shamakund in 1710, 1705, whatever. And his body is sitting there on the banks of Shamakund at Manasapavan Ghat. But in his smaran, in his Leela smaran, in his meditation, he travels to the Prakat Leela of Radha and Krishna. Prakat means manifest. Not on this planet. Krishna's gone to another earth planet and another universe and on and on and on. So there's no limitation for consciousness. This is Sarvagata. And Gita says the Atma is Sarvagata, all-pervading, no limitation, within, without. So he travels, then he enters the Leela, because he asked a question. Shukadeva Goswami is describing in this juncture of the Ras Leela, chapter 30, verse number 2, that the gopis are remembering the talks. So an inquisitive Rasik Bhakti will say, what were they saying? What were those talks? What was the alap? So Vishnu says, I have a recording right here. I recorded it. Acha? Yeah, I have it on my cell phone. Can you play it back? Listen. Oh, who's that? Oh, that's Radharani speaking. That's Krishna. He does the same, utilizes the same principle of samadhi drishti. Samadhi drishti and samadhi bhasha. Seeing the lila in his samadhi, then commenting on his language in the Bhagavad Gita. You look at the tikas of Vishnu Chakravarti in the Bhagavad Gita. In this particular verse, Arjuna and Krishna had the following dialogue. Acha. In the Bhagavad Gita, Krishna and Arjuna spoke 700 verses back and forth in dialogue. A few questions and lots of answers. But in the dialogue of Krishna and Arjuna on the battlefield of Kurukshetra, presented by Vishnu, they have thousands of verses. They speak thousands of verses. You can see in the commentaries, they're in English. Is this another Bhagavad Gita? Is this another Kurukshetra? Can be another Kalpa? The classic out the back door. It's another Kalpa. This is the unlimited nature of Ananta Bhagavan. Ananta Bhagavan ki jai. As soon as you think you understand a little about Krishna, you become confused. And then he goes even further. That's his hide and seek. He hides from your intelligence. You try to grab Krishna with your intelligence. Gane priyasam udapasya namante eva. Try to grab Krishna with your intelligence. And then he runs away and hides. Oh, Krishna, I lost you. Where are you? Many katas here. No? This is Guleri kata. And then that was Bilbo kata yesterday. The bird's called Bilbo. So what is this beautiful conversation that Krishna is having with the gopis, with Vishwanath is seeing in the inner reaches of his samadhi, his Leela samadhi? He speaks a little bit. I gave that little introduction myself. And he says, the gopis began searching for Krishna here and there, but not finding Krishna, the gopis' agony of separation increases more and more. Then there's one temporary emotion that's called transitory emotion. It moves. Because it moves a little bit here and there, it's called san chari. Chari means to move, and san means in different ways. San chari or vyabachari. So the san chari of unmad, divine madness, which appears in the gopis' minds and hearts due to their intense separation from Krishna. This is described in verse 2 of this chapter and verse 3. First, Krishna, Ramapate, the master of all beauty, he approaches the gopis with natural... So this is what he sees. The gopis are actually... The Bhagavatam says the gopis are all alone in this chapter. Vishnu says, no, they're not alone. Krishna approaches them with the natural movements of his feet. Coming before the gopis, Krishna shows his affectionate, gentle smiles and glances. So the verse of Shukadeva is saying the gopis are remembering his affectionate glances and smiles. Anuraga, Anuraga Smita, and Anuraga Ikshita. But Vishnu says they're not remembering, they're seeing. They're seeing directly. Sakshat Darshan. And they're not just remembering his talk, they're going to speak to him. Interesting angle. Talk about present tense. So you're present and present. That's real present tense. So when Krishna is standing in front of them, according to Vishnu's vision, his eyes are darting about here and there in a special way. After attracting the gopis' minds, Krishna captivates them with charming conversations such as the following. So here's the conversation that's not in the Bhagavatam, not told by Shukadev Goswami in chapter 30, but it's revealed by a rasik jan, Gaudiya Vaishnavacharya, Sripad Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur ki jai. Oh, Padmini means, oh, lotus, like, oh, lady with a beautiful lotus face. Are you going to offer your honey to this thirsty honeybee or not? Krishna's name is Madhusudan. Madhusudan means, Sudha means nectar. Sudha. Radharas Sudha Nidhi. Sudha means nectar, and Madhu means honey. So Madhusudan is a name for honeybee, bumblebee, Madhukar in Hindi, Madhukar. So Krishna is saying, oh, Padmini is a name for a woman's name. It means a beautiful woman, or it means a lotus flower. He says, oh, you're a lotus flower, and lotus flowers are full of nectar, and your face is full of nectar, and I'm a honeybee, and am I going to get the nectar of your face? Which is a very beautiful Parokshavad way of saying, indirect, and are you going to give me lots of kisses? Are you going to let me enjoy your sweet kisses? Are you going to offer your honey to this thirsty honeybee or not? So what does the gopi say? Let's see, Radharani. Oh, bee. Oh, honeybee. The husband of the lotus flower is the sun, Suryadev. He is the husband, not the bee. So how can we allow you to drink our honey? Because the one name for the sun planet is called Padmapati. Padma means lotus flower, and Pati means husband. So one of the names for the husband is, one of the names for the sun planet is Padma Bandhu, Padmapati, Aditya, Arka, Konark, Bhaskar, Divakar, Prabhakar, etc. Many names for the sun. Banu. Banu is the name for the sun planet. Banu Nandini. So Krishna is trying to be clever and get himself a few kisses, win a few kisses from the gopis, and they're out there being more smart and more clever. So you're coming to us, you say we're the flower and you're the bee, and we're supposed to give our honey to you, but you're not our husband. We're not going to give the honey of our flower-like lips. We're not going to give the honey of our lotus flower-like lips to you, because our husband is the sun. So then Krishna says, well, but my dear Padmini, my dear lotus, the very nature, that may be what the fact, you may be saying that the sun is your husband, and when the sun rises in the morning, then you open up and feel very happy. And when your husband leaves you in the evening, and when the sun sets, then you close and feel very happy. And your lotus flower face closes at sunset, and you feel very unhappy until your husband reappears again at sunrise, and you open your blossoming, smiling lotus face again. So Krishna's saying, that may be the fact, but your nature is that you don't give your husband, but your nature, your sabab, that may be the point. You know, you may be like this, but your nature, your sabab, is that you don't give your honey to the sun, but you give it to your paramour, the bee. Paramour means an additional lover. You're the lotus, your husband is the sun, but you don't give your sweet honey-like lips to your husband. You give it to your boyfriend. And who's your boyfriend? The honeybee. And what's the name of the honeybee? Madhusudan. And who is Madhusudan? It's me. Me is the honeybee. So give your lips to me. Defeated by Krishna's words, the gopis laugh and laugh, and then they let Krishna drink the honey of their lips. Jai Jai Shri Radhesha. Happy ending. That's to Radharani. Now he turns to another gopi and he says, oh, Gopika, I can understand that as you approach this kadamba tree standing here, you have been bitten by a very auspicious snake that's in the branches. The snake venom from that bite has already reached your chest. But since you are a respectable maiden, you have not asked me to cure you. But still, because I'm a doctor, I have come here because I'm very merciful by nature. So now, to remove that poison venom from your chest, I will massage your body and I will chant a mantra to counteract the snake's poison. Acha. Very naughty doctor. Then the gopi replies, Acha, you're a snake charmer. You know how to charm and mystify the snakes and control them. But listen, my dear snake charmer, no snake has bitten me. Why don't you go massage the body of some girl who has actually suffered from a snake bite? I am not suffering from the poisons of a snake bite, so get lost. Go to another gopi. Krishna says, come on now, come on, respectable girl. You're speaking one thing, but the way you're speaking, your voice is trembling. And with your trembling voice, I can understand, since your voice is stuttering and trembling, that you are experiencing a feverish reaction to being poisoned by a snake. And since I know this, if I don't take care of you, I'll be guilty of killing an innocent woman. So please let me administer the treatment to you. So then, after saying this, Krishna went to administer the medicine. We can continue with Vishwanath. He commented there on this beautiful Leela Vichar, consideration of a Leela which manifested in his mind when he was meditating on this Ras Leela. In chapter 30 and verse 2, this whole by the mercy of Radharani and Yogamaya Shakti, Leela Shakti, and Krishna in the heart, and his Guruvark, this whole beautiful conversation, Leela, he didn't imagine it. He's not a creative writer. This is his direct experience, his direct anubhav of the Leela, because the Leelas are going on at every moment. And if one has the proper apparatus, he can tune into the station and hear the broadcast. If you don't have a powerful receiver, you can't pick up the signal. Right? So if you have a powerful receiver, you can pick up a weak signal and amplify it and hear the music. This is in the radio transmission. So we're talking about the transmission of transcendental pastimes through time and space and everything. So if we have the right apparatus and the right machinery, then we can receive the transmission live and clear. Eyewitness. Eyewitness Leela. I would like to witness Leela. I witness Leela. That's Vishwanath is telling that. Leela Shakshi. I'm witnessing Leela. I'm seeing it. Leela Drishti. So now he steps back and goes into a philosophical mode. Let's say, as I mentioned, all the verses you can consider from Leela Vichar or Tattva Vichar. So he generally prefers to go into Leela than maybe no Tattva or later Tattva. Tattva is the philosophical principles, the principles of ras, and many details. So then he explains the word for word and what it means in his own very deep and rasic way. So he says here, regarding this verse 2, I'll read again. Gatyana raga smita vipramikshatir. Manorama lapa vihara vipramai. Akshipta chitta pramada ramapates. Tasta vichesta jagrihustadatmika. In this line too, we have the word vihar. Manorama lapa vihar. Which means pastimes of amorous union. So vihar here, we can have Krishna have Gopa, you can have Goshta Vihar, you can have pastimes with the coward boys, because Vihar means pastimes. So the word is only Vihar. But actually, Vihar means samprayog, he says. Samprayog means union, continuous and complete, a full union. So vihara means the gopis are remembering, they're remembering vihara and becoming bewildered. Vihara vibram. So the gopis in separation from Krishna, in this verse 2 of chapter 30, they're remembering their pastimes of union and great intimacy with Krishna, and they're becoming bewildered. And he explains, first they remember the pastimes of union, samprayog, and that's followed by vibram. So vihara is in line 2, and after vihara becomes vibram. The cause is vihara smaran. Remembering Krishna's lila, then it becomes vibram, vihara vibram. And he says, so first they remember, then they become vibram, totally mad in love. The scriptures say, whatever they are, chitta vritti avastanam, shingarad vibramo mata. Mati means the intelligence or the discriminative. Mati means the discriminative factor, the intelligence, like vivek. Krishna matiras too. Mahaprabhu said that as a sannyasi, they would give ashirvad to people. Krishna matir astu. Astu means let it be, or may your mati, may your intelligence go to Krishna. Or Krishna means be, let it be of Krishna. With that ending, Krishna matir astu. So the sannyasis, they, at least traditionally, they would, the Vaishnava sannyasis, they would say Krishna matir astu. But generally nowadays they say Hare Krishna. That's also very good. Remember Radha Krishna. Krishna matiras too. So the scriptures are saying that this is that their mati is totally bewildered because of their chitta, all their thoughts, chitta vritti anavastanam. Anavastanam means vas means like residing in. Chitta vritti means all the mental functions. Chitta vritti, all the mental functions and functionings of the gopis' minds and hearts have entered deeply into Shringar Ras and they become bewildered. As the gopis in their state of separation, as they wander through the forest and remember all their ecstatic moments with Krishna, their minds become overwhelmed, akshipta. So they speak to themselves, Oh, what are you doing here? Go out again and look for the darling of your life. And this way the gopis are chastising their own minds. Their very own minds are on the verge of leaving their bodies. The gopis act like this because they are in a state of pramad, which is in line 3. Akshipta chitta pramada rama pates. Pramad means extreme madness. Where's that, Prasad? Due to losing their minds. When their madness rises to the state of unmad, which means complete madness, the gopis' minds will become totally absorbed in Krishna, tadatmika. So to be totally absorbed in Krishna, mantandan, is a type of state of madness. So we say that we should always remember Krishna, speak about Krishna, dream about Krishna. So if one actually comes to that elevated state of spiritual advancement and pure Krishna consciousness, then he will be mad. Like the gopis, like Mahaprabhu. So at this time, the gopis, they're intelligently imitating, they start tadvichesta jagrihus. They start imitating the pastimes of Krishna. This is a very beautiful and insightful commentary by Sri Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur. This is rasa niryas, extracting more and more drops of rasa. So there's some, we made some observation of this verse also. I want to explain a little more about Vishnu's commentary. Because in line 4 of this verse, Tastavi Cheshta Jagrihus Tadatmika, Vishnu explains that the phrase Tad Atmika, this is a very important phrase and term in relation to sadhakas, not sadhakas that are practicing Vaidhi sadhana, but sadhanas who are practicing Raghunuga Bhakti, the concept, the principle, and the practice of becoming Tadatmika Bhav, or Bhav Tadatmika. Atma means myself, my mind and heart. Tad means that, and Bhav means my heart, my mind, and my very being is one with the Bhav of you, one with the feelings and heart of you. So for the Raghunuga Bhakta, who's pursuing and practicing, culturing Manjri Bhav, Gopi Bhav, Manjri Bhav Upasana, this is an essential practice of his sadhana, or her sadhana, where they try to become Bhav Tadatmya with Srimati Radharani's heart. When Radharani's happy, the Manjris are happy. When Radharani's sad, the Manjris are sad. So it's a self-identification, fully identify oneself and merge one's identity in Radharani. So this Vishwanathi explains, I want to comment, he says that Tadatmika, being fully absorbed in Krishna, really means the stage of unmad. So the gopis are in this unmadani, their high state of madness. This represents the gopis. Being fully absorbed in Krishna really means the stage of complete intoxicated madness. If you read the lives of the great saints, not all, but many great saints, like Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is often considered a great saint. We know that we accept that he is Krishna, that Bhagavan Sri Krishna, with the love of Radharani carrying in his heart and the Kanti and Bhava of Radharani, Bhagavan Sri Krishna. So we know that, but outsiders, and it appears that because he's in the human form, that he's acting in mad and crazy ways. So he is the teacher of the Siddhanta of Gaudiya Vaishnavism. The Prayojana, the goal of Gaudiya Vaishnavism is pure love of God, full-blown love of God, which will take one to that state. That's why oftentimes professors and commentators on this Gaudiya Vaishnava religion, they say, what kind of religion is this? This religion that you're practicing, this bhakti yoga, it culminates in madness. You take a group of sane and educated people, doctors and engineers and educated cultural people. Devotees are not imbeciles. They're idiots. They have degrees and they come from highly qualified families, many, not all. And they're deeply pursuing this bhakti bhajan in the Gaudiya Siddhanta. And they said they analyze it because they're either Christians or agnostics or atheists or communists, whatever these professors are. And they said, what is this? You know, at least in Christianity or Muslim, the goal is go to heaven and have a good time. The goal is happiness and peace and love, peace, happiness. But the goal of Krishna Bhakti is madness and anxiety and crying all the time. Oh, Krishna. Ha, Krishna. Ha, Krishna. Kotai go, prema mai. Radhe, radhe. Ha, Krishna. You see the greatest Siddha saints, Gaurakishordas Babaji and Vamshidas and so many, they're all mad. Ek bar deke radhakund dake radhe radhe. Abar deke shamagunda dake. I see Radhakund and I shout out Radhe Radhe Abardake Shamakunda, whatever, Amardake Shamakunde, Radhe Radhe, and then next day I see Shamakunda and I cry out. Hey Radhe Brajadevi Kecha Lalite, hey Nanda Sunokutaha, Goshantavati Sarvato Rajapure, Kedar Mahavivalo. The Goswamis, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, the highest educated literati, and they were ministers in government, and they knew five languages in Sanskrit and Persian and Bengali and Hindi and everything, wrote so many books, and they're all running around Vrindavan, Rupa Goswami, Sanatana Goswami, Jiva Goswami, Ha Radhe, Hey Radhe, Hey Radha, Hey Lalita, Hey Vishaka, where are you, where are you? And there are teachers. There are acharyas, there are mahajans, there are role models, there are exemplars. Are you sure you want to be a Gaudiya Vaishnava? You sure we say we should follow the path of Rupa and Raghunath? Raghunath Das Goswami, he's showing that the ultimate perfection in Krishna Bhakti is a cry. roll on the banks of Shamukha and pull out your hair and cry and consider committing suicide. Wait a minute, this is a very negative path of spirituality. I want to go to heaven and get my 50 wives and enjoy, you know. Sounds good. If you go to offer a proposal, would you like, you come and you follow our line of Krishna Bhakti and Gaudiya Siddhanta worshiping Radha and Krishna and Gopi Bhav, you'll become miserable. It's not chant Hare Krishna and be happy. You'll chant Radhe Radhe and cry all day and be unhappy. You'll chant Sham Sham all day and cry and be happy. Radhe Sham and cry. So in the future, what are the benefits? What are the retirement benefits? What are the benefits I get by 20, 30 years, 40 years? Oh, if you're really serious about Krishna Bhakti and you fully apply yourself to the path of Bhakti and by God's grace and somehow you follow the path of Raghunuga, then how you end up in the end of life, you'll just be rolling on the ground and rolling on the ground covered with dust, and you'll just have a copan or a loincloth on. You want to know about eating and sleeping, and you'll just be lying under the trees of and Brindatavi on the Braja Raj, and you're crying, oh Radhe, oh Krishna. And then you'll die, and you'll just die like that. And people say, oh, that poor person, he just was crying. His whole life, he's just crying. I think he must be missing his wife. He must be missing his wife. He must have second thoughts about taking up sadhu life. He came here late in life. He's probably missing his wife and kids, and especially his grandkids. So he's crying in separation from them. Because a materialist can never understand the mentality. Actually, a beautiful phrase. I actually found the Sanskrit for this, and actually somewhere in Prabhupada's writings or books, where Prabhupada himself was interviewed by a newspaper reporter. He said, Swamiji, you look very unhappy. You look so serious in your face. You're not smiling. And hello, sir. Hi, how are you? Huh? You don't look so happy. And he said, no, you should understand that Vaishnava Vyavahara Dukhi, if you see outside the characteristics, Vyavahara means the characteristics, the symptoms. If you see the Vaishnava appearing to be unhappy, Dukhi means unhappy, you should understand that inside, within himself, he's relishing the greatest bliss. So in the same way, you see the Gaudiya Vaishnava, the very advanced Bhava Bhakta, or the Prema Bhakti, he's crying, oh, so I walk by that kutir, he's crying all the time. I thought, chant and be happy. I got this mantra card, and I started chanting, and after 30 years, I'm only crying day and night. I got tricked. Got me in the door. If you pass out mantra cards and say, please join us, you can cry day and night. And nobody will join. Everyone's already crying. Everyone's always crying because of disappointment and frustration, anxiety, and wants. They're crying. Babies are crying for a candy bar, crying for a lollipop. And adults are crying for a new car. So this is the life as we have it. So then we're just talking about this Tanatmika. They became completely intoxicated in madness and love due to separation from one's beloved, Sri Krishna. While the gopis are desperately searching for Krishna in the forest, they start acting out Krishna's leelas. That's what we'll see in this chapter. They start acting out Krishna's leelas. And they start acting out Krishna's leelas with such intense mental absorption that they actually experience madness, unmad, and they lose all their sense of self-awareness as they identify themselves completely with Krishna. This is the meaning in verse 2 and 3 of the phrase tadatmika. Tadatmika. My atma is that. That is my atma. Krishna is my atma. My atma is Krishna. Their minds are fully absorbed in Krishna. In the gopis' high state of madness, their minds, intelligence, and very souls are one with Krishna. So as Vishnu was saying, well, here, everything was one with Krishna except their mahabhav. Their bhav was, they were one in the quality with Krishna, but their mahabhav, this is the different point. So in the line 1 and 2, we have this phrase, vibram. So mostly the word vibram is translated as bewilderment, usually bewilderment due to passion. some disorientation of the vision or mind or perception, so we become bewildered. So Krishna is, the Vibram is caused by Krishna's passionate, love-filled smiling and Ikshita and Vihara. But Vishnu Chakravarti, which I'm just kind of rehashing the point he made, he says that Vibram means a type of intense frenzy which prevents the mind from functioning while experiencing amorous feelings. Sounds, that's an interesting point there, you could say, but the functioning while experiencing amorous feelings. It's a sort of, I said this, Vibram is a sort of mental short circuit. The mind is blowing a fuse, which also we can see. So then in line 3, there's the word akshipta, which means overwhelmed. Akshipta means to draw, to pull, or to overwhelm. But in Sridhar Swami's commentary, in the context of the Braja Gopis, the word akshipta, it's here, line 3. Akshipta chitta, pramadal ramapates. Akshipta, their chitta, their hearts and consciousness was drawn and pulled. So it generally means that the Sridhar Swami Charan, Swami Charan is what they say here. Sridhar Swami, they refer to, they say Chakravarti Pad, Swami Charan, Saraswati Pad. It's a very interesting phrase here in Radhakund. The Katavachak, I think they say, Katavachak, or the speakers of the Bhagavatam, or the classes, and in general in the Gaudiya Sampradaya, when they refer to famous acharyas, they say, like Prabhupada Saraswati, they say Saraswati Pad. When they speak about the great commentator on the Srimad Bhagavatam of 1,000 years ago, Srila Sridhar Swami, they say Swami Charan, means the lotus feet of our Swami. And this is what Lord Chaitanya says to Vallabhacharya and Antilila, that he says, oh, you don't accept the Swami. In other words, the inference is that the wife should follow the husband. And this is in the there. So the word that's used there, Swami, and refer to husband. So Swami Charan, even Lord Chaitanya is using this idea for Sridhar Swami. Swami Charan, and then there's Saraswati Pad, and because there's a lot of pods. So then Srila Vishnu Chakravarti is called Chakravarti Pad. There's a few others. And Das Goswami, there's two Raghunaths. There's actually four Raghunaths. Raghunath Vaidya and Raghunath Bhatta and Raghunath Das and Raghunath Upadhyaya. Raghunath Upadhyaya is a Brahmin, and a Vaidya is not a Brahmin. So there's four, maybe five, Raghunath. There's two Haridases, Chota and Bara. So the common names repeated. So he says that in relation to the gopis, the word, he said akshipta means, it says akshipta, it means akrishta. Like we say karshan, Krishna. Krishna means to draw or to pull. So akshipta chitta. So as I was saying a couple minutes ago, that Krishna pulled and drew and pulled the whole consciousness of the gopis out of their bodies. And then, so he says, akshipta means akrishta, which means to draw to or pull or utterly captivate and seize. So Krishna, in his absence, in the separation from Krishna, Krishna has entered the gopis' chitta, their minds and hearts, and totally captured and seized them and made them crazy, pramada. So the Vishnu says, this is Sridhar Swami, now Vishnu says, akshipta describes the gopis' minds, which appear to the gopis to be leaving their bodies. So Vishnu says their minds are leaving their bodies, because when you're crazy, it seems like you lost your mind. They say, oh, you lost your mind, you're crazy. Because it's pramada, it's a word. So he says... So Sri Jiva Goswami says the gopis' madness or frenzy, unmad, is an appreciation and awareness of Krishna's presence based on pure love, which allows them to see Krishna manifest in everything. So because this line, this last word here in the third line says pramada. Mada means madness, and prami is a prefix, which means excessive, lots of, very, very mad. So they were so mad The gopis' madness was of such degree and such quality that it actually enabled them, allowed them to see Krishna manifest in everything. They saw Krishna in the trees and saw Krishna everywhere. So this is the end of our comments on this verse. 10th canto, chapter 30, verse 2. And by the mercy of Sri Guru, Gauranga and Radha and Krishna, and Shukadeva Goswami, we hope to speak on verse 3 tomorrow. Srimad Bhagavatam Mahapurana ki.